Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, June 24th, 2014, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Well, we have one more week of Mercury retrograde, so take this time to reflect and relax and hold off starting new things if it's at all possible. The Autumn Crystal Quest starts on the next equinox, September 21 to 27. So if you feel drawn to crystals and your chart has 25, 26, 27 degrees in any of these signs, Taurus, Scorpio, Cancer, Capricorn, Aquarius, or Leo, you have the rites of passage to participate. If you're not sure if you have those markings, just send an email to crystals@starseedhotline.com for more details. We are so happy to welcome Maureen St. Germain back to the show, author of bestseller Beyond the Flower of Life and Be a Genie. She's also known as the Practical Mystic, a gifted musician and international speaker. She helps others to manifest their heart's desire to grow and evolve using easy-to-learn tools and practices. She'll be talking about her genie system tonight, which enabled her to accomplish seemingly magical things in her life and helping us to do the same. You can visit her website at Maureen St. Germain, that's M-A-U-R-E-E-N, Saint S-T, Germain, G-E-R-M-A-I-N.com, and find her fascinating blogs, news, and channelings from the Akashic Records on subjects that concern all of us. Maureen will be joining us right after the news. We'll be starting this evening with Anastasia's Starseed News segment, bringing us topics that you won't hear about in the mainstream media. And we would like to thank Fiona, Vanya, and Claudia for hosting the switchboard this evening. And you can call in with comments or questions for Maureen on 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 when prompted so we know you have a question. And if you like the show, please click follow on our page and you'll get a weekly announcement about our upcoming show. We also have an online Starseed community at starseedhotline.ning.com. And special thanks go to Tammy for her dedication to the forum. Starseed Hotline's toll-free number is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart, and the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. And if you have a birthday coming up, you can find out how to make the most of your 10 hours of power by requesting your solar return timing. So first, I would like to introduce Anastasia and the Starseed News.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. Hi, Arielle. It's so good to be with you again. Another week's come and gone, and we have a lot of news to talk about tonight and a wonderful guest, so I guess I had better get on with it. The sun is in the news today. Arriving about a day later than expected, CME did hit Earth's magnetic field yesterday, and the impact did not spark a geomagnetic storm, but a second CME following close behind, they say, could push the geomagnetic field over the threshold into storm conditions. A glancing blow was expected sometime today, and that's all I know. Don't know if it happened, but they were anticipating one. Alaska is very great interest to me and probably to our listeners, which is why I'm bringing it to the fore this evening. There's been a lot of earthquake activity in Alaska. On yesterday, there was an earthquake magnitude 7.9 southeast of Little Sitkin Island in Alaska, 7.9. There was also an earthquake in Alaska yesterday, a magnitude 6.6 east of Buldur Island, Alaska, and an 8.0 magnitude Alaskan earthquake prompted tsunami advisories for the Pacific coast also on Monday. The warning for Southern California was downgraded to a tsunami advisory by the National Weather Service, but the National Weather Service reported that water was leaving the harbor of the city of Adak, Alaska at 3:23 p.m. yesterday, and so they were expecting a tsunami from that receding water from that 8.0 earthquake that happened at 1:53 in the afternoon in Alaska or Pacific time. The earthquake struck 244 miles southeast of Attu Station in Alaska, about 15 miles off of Little Sitkin Island. They say the earthquake occurred at a depth of 71.1 miles, according to the USGS. And apparently, Alaskan volcanoes are definitely waking up. They say that sharply increased seismic activity and volcanic eruptions in the Aleutian Islands and the far western Brooks Range are now being investigated by numbers of scientists. The Alaska Volcano Observatory says the activity over the past few months is the most seen by the station in 26 years. On the Alaska Volcano Observatory website, three volcanoes are classified with a yellow alert level that signifies signs of elevated unrest above known background levels, and three more are at an orange alert level, which means heightened unrest with increased likelihood of eruption. Now, Pavlov Volcano released an ash plume in May that diverted aircraft. That's an 8,000-plus foot-tall volcano that sent plumes as high as 30,000 feet. Now, scientists are concerned about this. They don't have enough information, they say, to point to any larger trend of activity. But even the Alaskan government posted news updates on its Facebook page that showed elevated surface temperatures at the summit of Shishaldin Volcano. So that I've listed a number of volcanoes today in that area of concern. And there's another anomaly happening in Alaska. They say that low seismic vibrations or low seismic quakes are occurring. A swarm of earthquakes has been hitting Alaska, taking place at the same low seismicity area in the northwest, all the same 5.7 magnitude. The fifth and latest event took place last Monday, and scientists don't know what is going on. Particularly unusual is the fact that they are the same magnitude and they occur in the same area. The area, of course, is just north of the Arctic Circle. They say that just as with previous tremblers, there are no injuries in these little 5.7 tremors, just cracks and things like that in buildings. Villagers have reported that houses were shaking and so on, but they're afraid that there's going to be a bigger one because every time it happens, they say, the quakes seem to be getting bigger. Each event that I'm talking about has been accompanied by 300 smaller aftershocks with magnitude reaching 3 at times. And so anyway, it's got everybody on alert in that area of Alaska because the scientists are saying they don't understand the nature of the earthquakes. And in Hawaii, the world's largest volcano is showing signs of life. We've all heard of Mauna Loa. That's the world's largest active volcano, and it's rumbled back to life in Hawaii over the past 13 months with more seismic activity than at any time since its last eruption. The volcano last erupted in 1975 and then again in 1984, but it's been rattled since March of last year, and they're really watching it. They say that they believe that some of the things that happened before the 75 and 84 eruptions are happening right now. So they are thinking that it is waking up. In New Zealand, there was an earthquake magnitude 6.9 yesterday, along with all the Alaskan earthquakes. And in Oklahoma, we've talked about this before, they have definitely linked the increase in earthquake activity in that state to oil well wastewater. They have done studies on that, and they say that between 1978 and 2008, Oklahoma had just two earthquakes with a magnitude over 3. In 2014, this year, thus far, there have been around 200 earthquakes like that, even more than the state of California, because California's only had 140. So they are thinking that this is caused by wastewater wells. They say that when oil and gas companies inject wastewater deep underground, the wastewater acts as a lubricant in fault lines, causing more movement. Isn't that interesting? Makes them slippy, slidey. So don't know what the people of Oklahoma are going to do about that, but that's some major things going on just because of gas extraction. And in South Australia, they had quite a struggle with storms yesterday. They say that South Australia is bracing for more wild weather after thousands of properties were left without power due to strong wind and rain. They declared a state of emergency, and they said that the winds were over 90 miles per hour. So a lot of trees and power lines down. They said that 6,000 premises were left without power, and they're just bracing because they say the storm is not over yet. And in the French Indian Ocean, this is an interesting story. I kind of thought this was a tad humorous. Tourists on the French Indian Ocean island of La Reunion, the island, witnessed a spectacular eruption of the Piton de la Fournaise volcano. Now, people actually go there to see this volcano erupt. I think I might pass, but that's what I thought was so humorous. They say that recently an eruption occurred on December in 2010 and lasted for 2 days. And so now they're advertising it as with headlines such as sleeping since December 2010 and is now beginning to wake up, and the tourists are gathering to watch it blow its top. And in China, there have been a lot of floods the last few days. Rainstorms and floods have been sweeping over eastern and southern China since actually the last week, they said mid-June. It's left bunch of people dead and people missing and 3 million people affected. They say that the cost of the flooding there in China is estimated at $250 million in just one province alone. And a very interesting story, this comes from NASA. There was a rare, what they're calling a Karman vortex, K-A-R-M-A-N, vortex, that was spotted off the coast of Baja, California. And in preparing this news article, I left the photograph up so I could describe it to you because it's most fascinating. If you want to check this out, Starseed listeners, Google Karman vortex. It is a unique weather event, and they say that it's created by airflow disturbed by the island Guadalupe off the coast of Baja California. They say it occurs only in a few places around the world and only very rarely. What it looks like is fractals. It kind of looks like the paisley print that used to be popular in the 60s, and also sort of embryonic, very interesting pattern. Might have some deep metaphysics to it. Nevertheless, if you're interested in atmospheric phenomenon, and it's very bizarre, Google Karman vortex. Very interesting. And there has been I didn't really realize that. The North Pole is moving. I think that I've probably came across that on occasion in my reading, and I might have even mentioned it on the news from time to time. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize that there was a bunch of satellites that were actually tracking that. And these satellites are called ESA's Swarm mission. These are three 9-meter satellites that orbit the planet at altitudes of maybe 300 miles. And they have the goal of monitoring the Earth's dynamic magnetic field, observing its changes over a period of 4 years. Now, they have gathered data on this project, and they're called the Swarm Satellites. I think that's odd, but that's what they call them. And they have discovered that actually there is a pole drift. They say that the magnetic pole is steadily wandering across the Arctic Ocean towards Siberia. Now, they say scientists have known about our planet's shifting magnetic field for a long time, but they say that now they're watching it closely, and they don't know what's going on particularly and why it is weakening. But definitely, they have found by this study that large portions of the Earth's magnetic field are definitely weakening. Of course, that concerns them because it does make us more susceptible to solar radiation and goodness knows what else. But I wanted to pass that along. That is a scientific study recently released their findings with the Swarm mission. And in East Istanbul, of all things, they had a tornado. Of all things, a very rare tornado hit eastern Istanbul on the 19th of June. And, of course, there are extraordinary weather conditions all over the world, but highly unusual to have a tornado in Istanbul. They also had heavy rain and hail. They said that they would get 50 kilograms of rain per square meter. Well, those are metrics. Can't really translate that for you, but apparently that's a lot of water. And in Hawaii, wonderful story about a welcome pad for aliens, a landing pad. They say if all goes as planned, E.T. may soon be calling the island of Puna home. A UFO landing pad and star visitor sanctuary is set to be dedicated Friday on land accreted by the 1983 lava flow fronting Uncle Robert's Kawa Bar in Kalapana. That sounds like a really cool place. Uncle Robert's Kawa Bar in Kalapana. Let's all go there and sit back and wait for the arrival. But they're going to have a 4 p.m. cleansing, purifying, and dedication of an 80-foot diameter landing pad naturally formed by the lava on 500 brand-new acres. And this is going to kick off a three-day Native Hawaiian Sustainability Conference. The conference, which is being separately organized from the Star Visitor event, different event, includes Hawaiian music and sessions on sustainability and so forth. They say that the Hawaiian Star Visitor Sanctuary will be the second piece of land officially dedicated for the purpose of inviting extraterrestrial visitors to land and to promote peaceful relations with them, according to information provided by the Exopolitics Institute News Service. The first landing pad was dedicated in 1967 in the city of St. Paul in the Canadian province of Alberta. They say that it's potentially controversial. They say some people will make fun of it. Some people will think it's stupid, but we're just being open-minded, they say. And in Seattle, a woman has spotted a drone peeping into her apartment window. Yes, indeed, it's finally here. We've talked about the possibilities of what drones can do, but right now this is a headline in today's news. They say that Seattle police are investigating a report of a drone peeping into a woman's apartment window. Police were called to this Seattle apartment complex yesterday, or the day before, excuse me, on Sunday, after a woman spied an unmanned aerial vehicle hovering outside of her building. The woman was afraid that she was being spied on by a peeping drone, and the owner of the apartment building called the police, and they saw two men piloting the drone. The men, upon being seen, packed up their gear, including a video camera, and left before the police arrived. So that's, you know, anybody can buy a drone. If you have the money, anyone can acquire a drone for just about any reason. So there is the first news that I've seen about someone complaining about being watched by a drone.
Oh my
God.
And
you know, nobody likes to go to the dentist. Do you like to go to the dentist? Really, honestly?
Not particularly, but I'm always glad to leave.
Well, in France, a young boy hated going to the dentist so bad. I mean, kids don't like dentists, right? But some kids go to worse extremes than others. I mean, you know, maybe playing sick or something, so you don't have to go to the dentist. Well, this young man, one 12-year-old boy in the Alpine village of St. Gervais, he went as far as telling police he'd been kidnapped so he wouldn't have to see the dentist. And sure enough, he had hidden. The police went looking for him and finally acquired him. He faked his own kidnapping so he wouldn't have to go to the dentist. I don't know what the penalty for that was, but creative and back in the day that would have been the remedy. I don't know what they do now, but okay. And there's an interesting story here about a singer in France. Another French story. A professional singer, this would interest you, Ariel, she's ready to perform again 2 months after doctors in France removed a tumor from her throat while she was, no, not under general anesthesia, but while she was under hypnosis. In a world first, surgeons at Henri Mondor Hospital near Paris performed this operation to remove a tumor from her vocal cords while she was awake. She had only a local anesthetic to numb her throat, and the main anesthetic or anesthetic agent was hypnosis. Now, during the procedure, she was even conscious enough to sing for the doctors because they had to watch her vocal cords vibrate in order to remove the tumor. According to the doctor who carried out the operation, the only way of knowing if her vocal cords had been protected was to get her to sing during the procedure. And before the surgery, she'd been put into trance by a hypnotist who told her to imagine she was on a trip to South Africa. And hypnosis has been recognized as an anesthetic since 1992 when it was used to help palliative care for the first time at a hospital in Liège. In France, it's mainly used to help burn victims cope with acute pain. But anybody who has studied hypnosis and used it for clinical purposes knows that it can be highly effective for lots of things, but there's an example of how it can help control pain. Pretty fascinating stuff.
That's really something.
I think she was brave to consent to that. She must have had hypnosis earlier and been assured that it worked for her before she tried that.
I'm sure.
Well, that's going to be it for tonight's news. I'm looking forward to the show, Ariel.
Well, as we all are, and I thank you so much for the Starseed News with Anastasia. We really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had one more comment I have to say. When you're talking about those weird earthquakes all being the same in Alaska in the same place, I had to immediately wonder, where is that in relation to HAARP?
Well, that's a good question. Anybody out there want to do any research on that?
I think it's worth looking into.
The official word is that they're shutting down HAARP. In fact, they've put it up for sale to any and all buyers. It's actually available, as I understand it, to private purchasers.
Selling it is different than shutting it down.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
That's, you know, so they tell us they've sold it and they're not going to use it, but do we believe that? I don't. Okay.
No. Anastasia, this is Lavendar.
Hi, Lavendar.
I wanted to comment on something that I saw this past week. You know those twin tornadoes that we saw on the news?
Oh, yeah.
I actually saw a scout ship go from one tornado to the other and back again. And I had recorded it so I could stop it on my DVR and watch it in slow motion.
Could you see it in slow motion?
Yes, I did. I saw it in slow motion.
Oh, that's outstanding. Now, that's just absolutely fascinating. That's not uncommon for ships to show up at those kinds of occasions.
Yeah.
I've even had Starseed write to me and ask me about that, noting how craft often show up at times of natural disasters, natural emergencies, things like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just wanted to mention that I saw this, and I was, I called Richard and said, oh, you got to come in here and see this. I stopped it and went frame by frame, and there it was.
Well, that's an incredible videotape. That is a wonderful thing to have to witness. That's terrific. Wow.
I'm sure somebody has made a YouTube of it.
Well, maybe not. Maybe.
Well, I don't know. I haven't researched it. I just know that I saw it when it happened.
Well, I'll check that out, see if I can find anything out about that.
Yeah, I found it on MSNBC is where I found it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll do some investigation on that this week.
Okay, good.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Well, I'm really excited about that place in Hawaii. I hadn't heard about that. That was really cool story.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Now, you don't hear that on mainstream news. It'd be fun to go. They're going to have a dedication, a cleansing ceremony, Hawaiian ritual. Boy, that would be lovely. It would be great. Let's go.
Yeah.
Can you be ready by Friday?
Yeah, let's get the jet ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Then after the ceremony, we can hang out at that cool tiki bar.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, everybody. I'm going to turn it back over to you now.
Thanks so much, Anastasia. Bye-bye. So I have our guest on the switchboard here. Let me just open up your mic. Hello, Maureen. Welcome to the show.
Hi, and thank you for having me back. It's a real pleasure to be with you.
And it's great to have you back. We just had such a great response to your last appearance here that we're glad that you can come and share some more time with us.
Thank you. I'd like to do that.
Yeah, Lavendar is going to kick it off here, and just, you know, a lot of people maybe didn't hear everything that you had to say the last time, so maybe we could just talk a little bit in about your Genie system, because I actually have emails from people that are using it, like in teams, and supporting each other, so that was pretty cool.
That's very cool. It's very exciting. I need to know those guys, and I'll do group sessions with them.
Well, yeah. Lavendar, did you see that email?
No, I didn't see it. No, but that sounds pretty nice. Yeah.
Emily and Gisela, I mean, and we're talking about one in Germany, one in Australia, calling each other up and running the script for the movie.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, so they've really
taken truly, they are truly helping each other by taking the time to manifest, because it's one of the things that I tell people is if you have a partner that you can work with, it'll make all the difference in the world, because they'll catch you doing something that limits your good, limits your manifestation, limits your creation, where you won't even see it. So it takes a partner to catch you and tease you out of it, so to speak. A fun teasing, of course.
Right. Yeah. So, Lavendar, do you want to kick it off for us here?
Okay, Maureen. Yes. Hello. So glad you were able to join us on such short notice. But when I thought we had someone that canceled, and I said, "Oh, who do I want? I want Maureen." So I called your assistant, and she said, "Oh, I think she can do it." I said, "Well, I'm going to put her down. I hope she can." So here you are. I'm so glad you're back.
Likewise. It's so much fun to work with you guys, because you have such a ready and willing audience who understand these principles in their heart, and all they're doing is learning it in their mind and connecting the two, and then they're off and running.
Yes. So why don't you just start out by talking about the Genie book? It took you about 20 years to write it, and what was so special about you doing it at this time and releasing it? Just start it off with telling us about your Genie system.
Okay. So the Genie system is a system that I developed in manifestation. All of my adult life, I have known that I would teach manifestation. And in the early years, I was doing what I will say is collecting data. And when I reached a point where I felt like I had my arms around it, but I didn't know how in the heck I would write a book, because I had no ability to understand what that would take, I thought, well, I'm really good at talking and I can probably do a seminar. So I'll do a seminar and then the seminar will help me write the book. And the very first seminar that I decided I wanted to teach was at a national meeting that had, 5,000 people attending. And I made a very clear intention with using the Genie system that I would be a presenter at the next one. And the one I was going to in like 6 weeks was just around the corner. So I showed up, and I had a great time at this conference. I didn't say anything about my teaching this class, and I ran into an old friend who was leaving the business, and we had breakfast. She told me what she was going to do, and I said to her, well, here's my dream. I want to give a class on this particular subject of manifestation and teach the fundraisers, that was the trade show that I was at, a way to grow their fundraising effortlessly. And she said, well, you have to do a proposal and submit it to the staff. And like a dummy, I said, I know that. And then she said, yes, but it has to be in by, next week, because the staff has to review it. And then they send it, if they like it, they send it to the committee. And then the committee has to decide for next year, and they're meeting in 3 weeks. And I said, oh, I didn't know that. And then she said, I really like your idea, and I've been complaining to the committee that they haven't had enough interpersonal trainings for the actual staff. And if you get your proposal in and the staff approves it and gets it to the committee, I will speak in favor of it, because I sit on the committee and it's my last meeting. I didn't even have an outline at that point. That's how phenomenal this system is. So if you are listening and you're sitting on the edge of your seat, you should be, because it is so remarkable. The system does not require that you believe in yourself. It requires certain steps, but believing in yourself isn't one of them. You just practice the system, and the system will produce the results that will help you see, oh my, I really am a co-creator with God. So then, after teaching it for quite a few years and teaching other material for quite a few years, then I got connected with a publisher again, doors opened for me. People introduced me to people, and I suddenly had a book agent who liked my work, and he took it to a major publisher, the people who did Conversations with God. And those guys loved my material and signed me to a 3-book deal. Now think about a first-time author getting a 3-book deal. That's pretty substantial. And then I found out later that they had money problems and they had some investors that had changed their mind. And so even though I had a signed contract and I had delivered the books, they never sent me my advance. And within 6 months, they called me to say, you know, we're just not going to be able to do your books. We're in a tough situation here, and it's just not going to happen. So there I was. And so I sat on it for a little while, and I thought, you know, the universe has got a message for me here, and the message must be that the book needs to be rewritten. And so the book actually got rewritten about 20 more times before I thought, okay, I'm ready to put it out myself. And so that's how come the book got, you know, was in the works for so very long. And about halfway through the process, a man said to me, after he had studied some of my material and taken classes from me on this subject, he said, I don't care if your book is only in manuscript form. Figure out what it costs you to photocopy it, add $10 for yourself, and sell me a copy. And that was the first copy of the manuscript I sold. And I sold thousands of manuscripts before I ever actually published the book. So it was quite an amazing adventure. But the book is quite remarkable in that it will teach you, through example, how to co-create with God and how to help you understand that it's not your job to figure out how. It's your job to name your destination. And the best way I know how to explain that is to imagine if you're arriving at the airport in New York City at LaGuardia, you do not tell the taxi driver which of the 6 or 7, you know, tunnels or bridges to take to get into Manhattan. You let that driver take you the best way possible for that particular day at that particular time. And this is what putting it in the hands of the universe does. And the tools that I will give you for that, and especially tonight, hopefully we'll be able to play, you'll begin to see how wonderful that is and how phenomenal it is to play with yourself, play with a partner, and manifest in such a fun, easy way.
Tell us how different than The Secret it is. A lot of our listeners have watched The Secret. Tell us what's different about the Genie system and The Secret.
Okay. The Secret, first of all, I wrote my material before The Secret was ever published, and I remember thinking when it came out, oh, I wanted to be the one to bring all this to the world. And then I decided, again, it's a matter of how you receive it. So then I thought, you know what, let them do all the legwork for me and lay the groundwork. My system is different in a number of ways. Number one, The Secret is well known for teaching people what is possible, but they don't necessarily teach you the steps on how to do it. And many of my students tell me that my material helps them apply what they learned in The Secret. Secondly, my system requires that you move in time to a version of the future that proves you have already achieved your outcome. So if you want to be with your beloved, you don't see yourself with your beloved. You see yourself celebrating an anniversary with your beloved. And then you're looking back in time. Now, all of these tools are tied to quantum physics. They're tied to science. So what begins to happen is the brain that generally runs the show for you, the logic side of you that runs the show, always is offering up resistance. Yeah, but, you know, it's like when a woman wants to meet a man and somebody else says, yeah, but there aren't that many good men around. And, you know, logic right away says, okay, well, I don't have a very good chance here. But in the Genie system, we show you the version of the future. We show you how science undergirds all of the information we're giving you. And then we allow the universe to fill in the gap between where you're at and where you're going. Now, in my system, and no one else has done this either, I tell people, let it be okay that you're in a place where you don't have your heart's desire, that you're okay with that. And then on the other side of that equation, you're also sharing in your mind awareness of the fact that you do have it. So you're literally living with two versions of the reality, just like when you look at a TV that's called picture-in-picture, and you have more than one television show going on at the same time. So you're telling your brain it's okay to have a version of the reality that says, I don't have it, and another version that says, I do. Now, one of the biggest pieces of my materials that's not in the secret is the idea that what you resist persists. So when you allow yourself to notice what you, quote, don't have, let's say you're a woman who wants to have children, you cannot announce to the world, I don't know what I'll do if I never have children. I'm meant to be a mom. Instead, you say, you know what? I want to be a mom. I see myself being a mom. But if it never happens, I'll be able to manage. I'll find my way. So you make your peace with the side of the equation that says, I don't have my heart's desire. And you say, that's okay. You offer no resistance. You see, if you say, I don't know what I'll do, I don't think I can live if I don't have children, that's offering resistance. It's telling the universe, I got to, you know, this, I don't know what I'll do. But if you make your peace there, then there's no resistance. Then you go over to the other side of the equation and you say, you know what? I see myself as a mom, and I see myself with a bunch of little kids, and I'm a great mom, and I have these beautiful kids, and they're all perfect, and I'm so happy to be a mom, and I'm so pleased to be a mom. So now you're not offering any resistance there. Now you're showing the universe two different versions of the reality. One will be okay. I'm okay. I'm not going to offer any resistance there. And another one, well, not only am I okay, but I'm in my joy. What do you think the universe is going to give you more of? There's no energy behind what you don't want. And there's all this loving joy behind what you do. So it's a very interesting dichotomy that you make it okay to be where you're at and to acknowledge that. And, you know, most systems of manifestation say deny what you don't want. You know, don't, you know, I have an old clunker. I got to, you know, push that out of my awareness. And instead I say, you know what, I'm so grateful I have this old clunker, but I'm really ready for another car. And I see myself driving a nice, shiny new car. And, you know, my clunker's been doing great. It's old. It's ready to move on. And it's been a good service for me. And I'm so grateful here. And then over here, I am so jazzed. And, oh, by the way, one more piece to this. I require that you pretend that you have a real-time conversation with someone. So let's take the last example about the car. If you're choosing to manifest a car, then you have to pick a scenario, and I'll make one up for you. Let's pretend that you're driving into the grocery store, the gas station, or the parking lot, and you park your car, and a friend comes up to you and says, oh my gosh, is that you, Lavender? And you say, of course. And they say, is your car in the shop? Are you driving a loaner? Oh no, that's my new car. And that conversation teaches your consciousness that it's true and that it's real. Now, there's all kinds of studies about this, and there's all kinds of studies that are written up for the last 30 years. But one example I'll give you is a Russian study where they took three sets of basketball players, and they had them practice an extra 30 minutes. The first group that physically practiced an extra 30 minutes increased their performance 25%. The second group, who imagined they were practicing at the foul line for an extra 25 minutes or 30 minutes, increased their percentage 24%. And then, of course, the third group, the control group that did nothing for that 35 minutes, showed no increase whatsoever. The mind cannot tell the difference between an imagined outcome and a real one, especially if you allow yourself to experience it as real. Now, if we're able to play with someone who wants to be a volunteer and share their heart's desire and we go through the process, one of the things that happens is when you hear your friend, your relative, your partner say something magical to you that validates this outcome, you shift. Your body and your mind literally shift. And you can feel it, and very often the audience will feel it. And when we're in a live class, I've actually had people tell me they were moved to tears watching the person on the stage. So it's pretty amazing because it's very down to earth. How do I apply this? So
I noticed that you talk a little bit in your book about the Phoenix sequence. Can you tell us what that is and why is it so special?
The Phoenix sequence is a name that I assigned to a sequence that is not very well known. And I called it the Phoenix sequence because the Phoenix is quite magical. And I literally asked for guidance on what to call the sequence so that people would begin to understand. Now, the Phoenix sequence is based on some sacred geometry principles, so I'll start with that. Many people are familiar with a term called the golden ratio or the golden mean, and it particularly refers to a relationship that exists between two sides of a rectangle. It can be the relationship between the bones of the body, so your little finger to the first joint of the hand, and then that length of the little finger to the base of the hand, that's in this magical golden mean ratio, also called phi. And phi can be produced in many ways. And it's found in nature. It's found in the way plants grow. It's found in inanimate things, such as the distance between Mars and Mercury and the Sun. It's found in the construction of the Great Pyramid. It's used in art and architecture. So this golden mean is very remarkable and very powerful, and I believe that it's source code for creation. Now, the Phoenix sequence, in relationship to this, produces the phi ratio on the ninth and tenth iteration. Now, many of you are familiar with the sequence known as the Fibonacci sequence, and the Fibonacci sequence is this sequence that's built upon itself. And it goes like this. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. And the next number after 13 would be 13 plus the previous digit, which is 8, and that would make 21. And then 34, 89, or 55, 89, and so on. When you divide, let's say, 34 by 55, it produces this same ratio of phi, or 1.618. So the Phoenix sequence lets you start with any two numbers, random, picked out of thin air. You could start with, you know, an 86 and a 254 and add them together. And then at the conclusion of those two additions, you would add the 254 to that solution. And then each remaining two numbers gets added to produce the next number. On the ninth and tenth repetition, you divide them, and you will always get the golden mean. Now, this is remarkable, but what's even more remarkable is how do we apply it to this business of creation? And the answer is, once you realize it doesn't matter where you're starting or where you want to go, if you stay with your system and you don't add any extraneous numbers, any extraneous stuff, you can produce the golden mean. And the golden mean will produce your outcome because it is source code for manifestation. So let me give you an example. And I think I told this story in the last show. A lady in a class in Atlanta, probably 10 years ago, stood up and said, I want to do this. I want to manifest a horse rescue farm. And I said, okay, and what do you do now? And she worked as a law clerk, just a lowly clerk in a law office. She didn't even own a horse. A year later, she writes me. We do the process. She stands up in front of the whole group. We do the process. She writes me an email a year later, and she said, hey, Maureen, that genie system really works. I got hitched. Now, just reading the first line made me burst out laughing because what a horse word to use that she got married. But who did she marry? A man who was building a feed company, organic feed for horses. They have a ranch. How close do you think she is to having that rescue farm? And that was in 1 year's time. And in my world, when she stood up and said what she wanted to do, and then we found out what she was currently doing, I remember thinking, oh, my God, She's reaching for the stars. And she achieved it. And I have dozens of stories like this. One of the things I learned in this whole thing about manifestation is the less you try to do the how, the faster you will manifest. And I have this wonderful example that happened to me early on when I was working the system, but I hadn't yet written anything. And I had applied for a contest. And the contest was limited to people who were in the meeting planning business, and I was the head of a trade association and held meetings. So I was one of maybe 300 or 500 people that were in the contest. So it was with relatively good odds. And the job of the contest was to name a function room at the Bermuda Princess Hotel. Now, the Princess Hotel chain is a fabulous chain. So I put a picture of a woman facing the beach on my bulletin board at work. And I pretended I was that woman. And behind me was the hotel that had named the function room the name I submitted. That's my first step. My second step was to meditate and ask the universe, okay, so what's the winning name? And I submitted that name. I didn't win. And when I didn't win, I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I've been in the hotel business. I know how this works. They probably had a meeting planner that they really needed to get to the hotel that had a great big medical convention that they wanted to bring her in so that she would see it and bring her group. So I felt no animosity. I felt no anger. I felt no disappointment. I was shocked that I didn't win because it was such a great name and I was sure it was going to win, but I gave it no mind, no attachment. A year later, I got invited to go on a familiarization trip with a company that takes organizations on such trips, and they were going to Acapulco. The dates were good. I was free. I didn't have to pay anything but the taxes, which were under $100. I signed up. We land in Acapulco and get assembled because there were people from all over the U.S. coming. We're on the bus on our way to our hotel. Now, I haven't paid any attention to where we're going because I'm a busy person and I know the organizer and I have no need to check him out. And I say to the passenger next to me, where are we staying? And he says, we're staying at the Acapulco Princess. And I said, ooh, that's a great chain. We're going to have a good time. I get to my room, and on my bed is a brochure for their function space. I'm thinking, wow, this function space looks just like the floor plan for the Bermuda Princess. Lots of hotel chains do that, where they copy the floor plan in various cities. And, of course, you know the rest of the story. What was the name they had given to this particular function room? The name I had submitted. And when a friend said to me, well, why didn't you complain and tell them they owed you a free trip? And I said, how could I complain? I was already on a free trip when I found out.
I love that story. I love that story. I'll tell you another story I love, and I want you to tell it again, is about the miners in the mine that ran out of air.
Ah, this is a great story. Now, this one I have to give credit to Deepak Chopra because that's where I got it.
Okay.
And it's in my book. And as the story goes, there was a group of miners who were trapped after a bit of rock fall, and only one of the miners had a watch. And he decided that he would tell them that 1 hour had passed every 2 hours. So he was deliberately misleading them, because they already knew how much air was there. They did the math. They knew they had to be rescued within 5 days, 4 days, I guess it was, maybe three. I don't know. But they had a limited supply. So they were not rescued within the time frame that they would have had to have been rescued with the amount of air they had. And they were rescued at 5 days, and only one of the miners was dead. And it was the miner that had the watch. And I was credulous at this story, so I did the math. And if you take and double the time at 4.5 days, or, you know, into the fifth day, you will have run out of air if you were on the two-hour clock instead of the one-hour clock. So they were rescued within the window that this man created. So he saved everyone's life, even though he didn't live. or he chose not to live, as the case may be.
Wow.
So what you believe is the version of the reality that you exist, that you are creating.
I guess he just didn't believe, or maybe he did. He was looking at the clock, at the watch,
right,
and he knew that
right.
the air was
Too
gone,
right.
but he
right.
he just wasn't able to believe like the other people. Yeah, well, he
right.
told
well,
the
other
lie,
people
really.
Didn't know he was lying.
Yeah, but that lie saved him. Yeah,
that's right. But he saved their lives by lying to them. So he had a plan. Even though he wasn't able to pull it off for himself, he was able to pull it off for everyone else. What a gift.
Love it. Go ahead and tell us some more stories like that, because I know our audience, they're very visual, and when you tell stories that show how your genie system works, it just somehow gets into their brain easier.
Sure. Okay, so let's see. I'd like to talk about the premise that I used at the beginning of the book on the whole reason to write the book. And that has to do with me being a mom, and I was in one of the most financially challenging situations a person could be in, because my soon-to-be ex-husband had filed bankruptcy while we were still married, naming me as one of his creditors. Now, his plan was to get me to file bankruptcy, but I always wanted to teach manifestation. And I couldn't imagine, if I truly believed in manifestation, how could I file bankruptcy? It's only money. I can manifest more money. So I chose not to file bankruptcy and to pay his debts and mine. And at the same time, I had one of my sons who was going to be going to college. He'd received a very substantial grant, and he had a little bit of a loan, which totaled around $25,000 a year, but he still needed another $10,000 that I had to pay the school directly. And I knew that I would have to manifest this money. So the first semester's tuition was $5,000 on my side, and I worked so hard that first semester pulling that money together. And I wrote the check before the end of the semester so he could register for the next semester. But once I got that money, I said to myself, I am not going to do this 7 more times. This is nuts. I want to do one manifestation that's going to cover the whole shooting match. I want the equivalent of 40 grand. Now, I was so terrified in my head that I would fail that imagining 40 grand was not possible, that I owned 40 grand. Couldn't wrap my brain around it. And I'm sure there's plenty of you that feel that way too. You know, how am I going to come up with that kind of money? You can't even imagine what it's like to have it. And even though I had worked and continued to work in a job where I was the top oversight for $1 million budget, but it wasn't my money, so it wasn't the same. So I thought about it and realized that I could come up with a visual that would be representative of that money. And the visual was of my son graduating. Now, I was still so terrified, and again, I didn't know that that was what was wrong. Why can't I imagine this? But I couldn't conjure it up. So I got a photograph of his high school graduation, cap and gown, and I put it on my desk at work. And every time I felt fearful, which was maybe 20 to 40 times a day, I would look at the picture and I would pretend to have this conversation. Remember how important that conversation is. And the conversation was quite straightforward and very simple. And it was only two statements. There were some scary moments, but it wasn't that hard. There were some scary moments, meaning, you know what? I'm really don't know how I'm going to pull this off. That's the one side of the equation. And the other side of the equation was, it wasn't that hard. Now, when I first began saying that, there was not a lot of conviction in my thought process or my speech. But as time went on, I just made it, you know, hey, wasn't that hard. Even though I didn't know how, I knew it wasn't that hard. And I managed to come up with that money, even though at that time in my life, my wages were about $100 less per month than I needed to make the house payment, my credit card debt, and my husband's credit card debt. But I pulled it off, And what I can say to you who are listening, it is, I pull it off because I kept saying, but it wasn't that hard. And those two simple statements are very useful. So if you're not quite sure how to handle something you're going to manifest or want to manifest, one of the best ways to do it is to just say, there were some scary moments. Now, you'll notice that sentence is in the past. I'm not saying there are some scary moments. You're like, I don't know how the heck I'm going to pay the utility bill this month. That's not what's going on. Instead, you're saying there were some scary moments because the conversation was with my son. So I'm speaking to him from that point in the future that proves he did go to that school and he did get to go through graduation, because they don't let you go through graduation if you don't pay your bill. So remember that when you're doing this genie system, it's very useful to give yourself permission to be scared and then to be not scared. Both. Let both of them be real. Give yourself permission to have that conversation. And that's why working with a partner is so useful. Because when you have a partner, they hear you and they can say, no, that's, you're saying it in the present tense. You need to refer back to when you were scared and broke and say, you know, there were some scary moments, but it wasn't that hard. It's just fabulous.
I love that story. I love that story. Now, does your family, do they use the genie system? How about your boy? Does he use it?
Well, I actually have four sons.
Four sons? Wow.
Yes. And I put all of them through college. This was the first one that I paid the bills for. And there are one that's in the military that didn't need my financial support. And I did this with every one of them. What's interesting to me is I can tell you that there's actually a story about one of the boys who was using the system. Now, of course, they're using this material from me quite naturally, as if everyone does. And they don't realize that I actually wrote a book to teach people how to do this. I mean, they all know I wrote the book. They're very proud of me for the fact that the book's doing so well and it's being translated into other languages and such. But, you know, they are using these tools. Well, doesn't everybody? And I'll give you an example. One of my sons, who is a singer, was in the college choir, and he had traveled with me to Europe, and the choir was in Germany, and they'd gotten to London. They were on their way home. They'd been away 3 weeks on tour, and there was such inclement weather in London that their plane was grounded, and they were sent to a hotel. And then they're back at the airport the next day, and some of the girls are, you know, complaining that they don't know when they're going to get home. You know, it might be weeks before they get home. You know, they're just, you know, being whiny, and they're missing home, you know. And he looks at these girls, and he said to them, I don't know if you're going to get home, but I intend to get home today. And he told me later that he was just trying to get them to get off their funk of naming the fact that they wouldn't be able to get home soon. And what happened next is like off the charts. The choir director went back and said again, you know, is there anything you can do? You know, I've got all these kids, blah, blah, blah. And the airline said, look, there's nothing we can do unless you're willing to split up your group. Would you be willing to do that? And he said, yeah, I think we should do that. At least we'll get some of them home. And you know who was on that first group that went home early? The rest of the kids didn't get home for another 4 days.
Wow.
It's just
amazing. That story. I love that story. Can you get into a little bit about how to play your movie?
Yes, I would love to. One of the things that I began to realize is that if I gave people tools to follow the steps, then they would be able to do it easier. So when you're creating that conversation of your what I call your after event. And that's really the critical piece. You know where you're at. That's a no-brainer. And you know where you want to go. But what does it look like once you've achieved it? And so you give yourself permission to think of it as a movie. And you allow yourself to look at that movie and say, you know what? If I want to be happily married to my beloved, what is the after event? And the after event could be any number of things. It could be that I got divorced. It could be that I'm celebrating my anniversary. It could be, you know, anything in between. One of the things I tell people is don't add multiple things to it. So don't say, well, I had a baby. Instead, let the baby be a standalone, you know, we're happily married and now we have a baby. Create a different movie on that. So the movie is very, very, very important. In the movie, you have to see who speaks first. In your movie, you have to decide, are we doing this on the phone or are we doing it in person? Are we having dinner or are we having tea? Just because the little setup stuff is very useful, just like a good set in a theater production, helps you get in the mood of the production. So one of the things that I learned is that when you create this movie of the mind, so to speak, you allow yourself to produce the endorphins and the fabulous feeling that you get when you get feedback from this imaginary partner that you're talking to in the situation. Now, sometimes you can't create because you cannot think of it, or you're I'll use the word tongue-tied or tied up emotionally like I was in the moment. And then what you do is you create from what I will call favorable states. So, you know, in the movie business, there's location scouts. And the scouts choose the event, the location, for the ideal setting. So, for example, in Star Wars, Captain Kirk scales this big mountain. But it was this mountain that was found at Yosemite National Park that I was at last week, and it was El Capitan. And, you know, you might remember seeing him scale the mountain, but when I went to Yosemite, I learned, oh, that was where that was filmed. So this location is very important, and the favorable state is important. And here's what I mean. Well, I had a woman in a class who had wanted to produce a fabulous bar mitzvah for her son. And it was 2 years off, but she was already getting worked up about it and concerned that it wouldn't be a good enough party. So I said to her, well, you know, have you ever thrown any other parties that were very successful? And she said, no. And we kept going backwards in time. Well, what about a kid's birthday party? No. Well, what about, you know, a family celebration? No. What about your wedding? Oh, that was wonderful. And I said, okay. And how was the cake? Oh, it was perfect. What about the band? Oh, they were sensational. What about your dress? Oh, I looked fabulous. What about the attendance? Oh, everybody in town came. Every single thing on that event was perfect for her. So I said, okay, now it's the day after your wedding, and you're still in the glow of this fabulous event. Okay, stay there. Now it's the day after the bar mitzvah. How do you feel? Fantastic. So that's what she would do. She would create her memories of her fabulous wedding, and then she would drop out of that and create a new movie right where she was at, in that fabulous place, that state of contentment that I did everything right, everyone came, a good time was had by all.
Wow. Do you have seminars, teleseminars, on the internet? Do you have things where people can join you and also join others?
Yes, we do have teleseminars. We have not set up a bulletin board, but that's something maybe we should do to help people along, to help them get it. I think that's a marvelous idea. A few years ago, I did a monthly genie circle where we did a free call, and you could just call in and ask for help or, you know, get some information. And that was very, very helpful to people. I've been thinking about offering that again. I do teach live courses in New York, usually once every other month. I'm affiliated with the Association for Research and Enlightenment, the ARE, the Edgar Cayce Foundation, and so I offer classes there. And so if you're in the New York area, if you feel like traveling to New York, you can take a class with me there. I'm pretty available. You could probably find those classes at least three or four times a year.
So do you also travel around the country and give seminars at different places?
Yes.
And do you have that event calendar up on your website so people can go and look?
Yes, I do. And I also want to make sure that I tell everyone about the freebie that we have for your audience. And this is something that's not available to anybody unless you know this particular web name, and it's called the Genie System, www.geniesystem.com. And that will take you to a page that will give you a wonderful double download, a wonderful story about intentions and about a person who was one of my clients and who could not, she was so down, she was so depressed that all she could do is tell me what she didn't want. She was afraid she was going to be old and penniless. She was afraid she was going to run out of good ideas. She was afraid she'd never get a really good paying job. She was afraid she wouldn't have enough money to raise her daughter. I could go on and on. All she could think of is the stuff she didn't want. So we started with that list. And then we wrote an antidote for every single statement. So the statement about, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to run out of ideas would be antidoted by, I intend that I always have plenty of wonderful, fabulous ideas for myself and for my work. I intend that I always have plenty of money to cover whatever I need to buy. And on it went. So this became so powerful that I recorded it so that everyone could benefit, because it was pretty universal, the kinds of fears that a lot of people go through, especially if you're young and starting out. And I tell the story. One of the things that she really wanted was she was afraid she wouldn't make a difference in the world. So the antidote for that was, I'm a woman of substance, and what I do in the world makes a difference. And the storyline is about how her husband, her former husband, he's now her former husband, but he wasn't then, her husband's iPad was stolen. He was a newsman, and he had done a story at a store in New York City, and the iPad disappeared. And the husband was so embarrassed that he didn't even tell her for 2 days. Finally, he tells her, and she asks him what store. And because she's now doing these affirmations on a daily basis, out of the blue, she decides to go to the store 3 days later, talks to the shopkeeper, tells him, look, we're a young family. We don't have a lot of resources. Losing that iPad was a very big deal. Is there any way you would be willing to give the karma lecture to your employees and ask for the iPad back? She said, I figure there's a 50% chance that it was picked up by one of the employees here, and tell them there will be no questions asked. We would just be so grateful to get it back. The following day, the storekeeper called her to say, come pick up your husband's iPad. I have it.
Wow.
Who gets something like that returned in New York City of all places? So that's a freebie from me. It's a lovely guided meditation. And I'm so grateful to offer it to you and to your listeners. I also have a monthly free meditation that we have a new one every month. The current one right now is called The Golden Glow, and the energy coming off of that is phenomenal. And these are mini meditations, so they're very easy to do and to fit into your schedule. They're guided. They'll take you through a process. You know, 5 minutes later, you're a new woman or a new man.
Wow.
I love this. I love this so much. Your book is just, I keep it by my bed and I read on it off and on because it's so inspiring. At this time, though, I would like to turn it over to Arielle because she has the switchboard, and we probably have some people that want to call in and talk to you, if that's okay.
I'd love it. I'd really love to play with someone.
Thank you so much for being on our show, and I'll turn it over to Arielle now. Back to you, Arielle.
Okay. Well, we do have someone with a question, and I would just tell anybody that would like to ask a question or make a comment, you have to press 1 on your keypad so that we know to bring you on the air. So, first of all, we are going to be talking to Kathy as soon as I get your mic open. Hi, Kathy. You are on air with Maureen.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. Nice to meet you, Kathy.
You too.
So what's your question?
Let's see. How did I say my question earlier? I wanted to know how to speed up my spiritual journey.
Okay. So you want to make your ascension in this lifetime?
Yes.
Okay. If you make your ascension, what will that look like?
I think it would be helping other people, freedom.
Yes, but what's going on for you? So you're projecting it out to others. Let's talk about what's different for you. If you're already helping other people, if you're already in a sense of freedom, what's new and different for you? Some real tangible things here that perhaps you haven't thought of, and that's why you always need a partner. It's helpful to have a partner. Can you think of what that might be? I will help you if you don't see it right away.
I don't see it.
Okay. Your sense of fulfilling your mission would give you such a great sense of contentment that you would be in a constant state of joy. And even when people do stuff they're not supposed to, you'd be so gracious. Get it?
Yeah.
Now, I have to forewarn you that if you choose this manifestation, and I understand that you are going to do that, you are going to be put through some tests to push you in that direction. So it's kind of like this. I want a place in a marathon. And I'm doing all this training, and now I get this trainer that's absolutely crazy, and they're making me work so hard, I'm in pain all the time, blah, blah, blah. See where I'm going with that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to place, and this guy's going to make sure I do. But, you know, that time period is going to do it. So one of the things you've got to decide right now in your thought is, if I'm choosing to move into my ascension, I'm going to let go, and I'm not going to resist anything. Because the number one reason people don't achieve the spiritual growth they're looking for is because they're still hanging on to something. And it could be anything. It could be an emotional state. It could be a belief system. It could be belongings. It could be a location. All of that. And so what I'm saying to you, you know, are you ready to let go of anything and everything that would stand in the way of your ascension?
Yeah.
You have to answer. Okay. All right. So you're ready. All right. So here we go. You're in a state of absolute contentment all the time. You're going to have a conversation with somebody. Who's it going to be with? Close friend, family member, what?
Both.
Say the name again. Oh, gosh, you're breaking up.
Yeah, your signal's breaking up, Kathy. So please say that again.
Family.
You have to give me a person's name, honey.
Lori.
All right. So you're going to have a conversation with Lori. And Lori's noticing how blissed out you are all the time. You're not incompetent. You're in this just deep contentment all the time. What do you suppose Lori would say to you as she notices this?
She would say,
all right, I'm going to fill this in because you're breaking up again. I'm going to fill in the words. Hopefully I'm close. He would say, Kathy, I have never seen you this content with life. You are so amazing. You're such an inspiration to me. I don't know how you do it. I'm just so happy to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she and you say what in return?
I'm so glad you can see the difference.
I'm so glad you can notice.
Very right.
Good. All right. That's all you have to do. So you keep running that mental movie of you and your friend hearing her tell you she is awestruck by the mastery you carry. Not in a jealous way, but she's awestruck in a way that honors you. And she is so inspired. And all you do is say, thank you. I'm so grateful to be here to be able to do that. Thank you.
Okay, what happens when part of my mind says, this is bull, this can't happen? I get that a lot.
All right, what I would highly recommend is you get the book, Be a Genie. And when you read the book, you'll begin to comprehend that the system is based on such solid science and math that your logical side of your brain won't have the need to say this is bull.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like this. I show you a beautiful jacket that I bought, and I say, you know, I only paid $10 for it. And you say, no way. And I say, oh, yes, I bought it at the Salvation Army. It even still had the tag on it. It said it was $150. And you say, really? That is so amazing. So you move from disbelief to belief. And reading the book will do that for you. It's a good investment. Because you cannot on your own figure this out without a lot of effort. And the benefit you get from reading the book is that I've got 20 years of history, of stories, of experience that show you that it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. What matters is whether or not you do it. And the doing is being okay that you're not at your mastery level, that you screw up, that you get angry at somebody or that you don't have the spiritual gifts you want to have. And then you're on the other side where you're able to be of service to others. You're able to hold your counsel or to give it, depending upon the need of the situation. And you're able to hold this state of such contentment. And you let both of those be real.
Mm-hmm.
Without resistance, without judgment. See, the thing is, sometimes we look at, oh, you know what, I'm not where I want to be spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And we're full of shame, judgment, anger, remorse. All those emotions are good for one thing. To help you notice you want to be different. But the problem is so many times we let those emotions become so powerful that then the emotion of shame, guilt, remorse runs the show instead of just saying, you know what, I can do better. And I'm okay with that I can do better. You know, I was a good mom. I could have been better if I knew what I know now. But over here, I'm just so content and I'm able to do and be this magical being, and you hear this conversation with your friend. You don't just announce it. You hear your friend say it to you. And when you go through that in your mind, where you hear the friend announce it back to you, it becomes real. Because your mind feels it, and you literally shift. When we teach it in the class, people actually are moved to an emotional state. When I did this with a woman in one class recently at an expo that I taught a class, the woman who was in the class was so afraid to have love again that she imagined she was telling her best friend about this great guy. And I said, okay, now let's make it really real. Now you're going to be talking to him, and he's telling you how special you are, and you're telling him how happy you are. And she gets into the conversation, and she says something with such emotion that she breaks down and cries, and she says to this beloved in her mind's eye, I never thought I could love like this again. And the entire audience was in tears.
Wow.
And that's what happens. As Lavender pointed out, you know, find somebody who wants to manifest something, doesn't even have to be the same thing as you, and play, role play with each other. Be the other person. You know, one of the great stories that I tell is when I taught that very first class, I had a guy stand up and said, I want to work for the Miami Dolphins. And I said, okay, and who are you going to tell once you have that job. And he said, I'm going to call my mom. And I said, is it on the phone or in person? And he says, on the phone. And I said, okay, I'll be your mom. Hi, son. How's it going? And he stopped. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, you're recording this. I can't say. So I said, okay, well, clean up your language. He said, okay, mom, I'm working for the effing Dolphins. And I said, okay, and what would your mom say? He said, no effing way. And I said, does your mother talk like this? Mm-hmm. And he said, yes. And I said, then that's the movie for you. Mm-hmm. So make sure your movie is so real, it evokes laughter, you know, the emotions, because then your consciousness feels it as if it is real and it becomes real. Then it just, you're just filling in the blank.
Well, I've been trying to manifest a car for a year and nothing's happening.
So did you hear the part about how to manifest a car at the beginning of the show?
Uh-huh, I did.
Okay, so you can role play that one where you imagine somebody that you were likely to see at the grocery store, you know who it is, comes up to you and asks you, you know, I didn't recognize you in that car. What's the deal? And you can say, that's my new car. That's all you have to do. And imagine saying that. Say it for me right now. Let's say you and I are having that conversation, and I walk up to you and I say, Kathy, I didn't recognize you. Is that the car? Is that your car?
And I said, yes, I have a new car.
Yeah, that's my new car. Keep it in the present.
My new car, okay.
Yeah, that's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing.
It is. I'm going to get the book.
Good plan. Good, good.
And I noticed today when I'm in the state of, like, calling in my angels and for parking space and I go to the doctors, and I was, like, so happy in such a good mood that these other people, I made them laugh today.
That's fabulous. And That's your state. So
uh-huh.
now you've already given yourself the replicatable state. You know, remember when I said replicate from favorable states? You've got a favorable state. You have a memory of what that was like, this, you know, crazy carrying on that made everyone laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to that, and now pretend it's this point in the future where that's your normal state all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That you're in that kind of joy.
Okay. Wow. Yep. Okay. I got it. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for joining us.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Kathy. Bye-bye.
So now what?
We are, if anyone wants to ask a comment or a question or comment, just press 1 so that we know you have that. And while we are waiting, I would like to pose a hypothetical situation, because it's kind of a conglomerate, because I hear similar things from people that I do sessions with. It is either a person who is in a corporate kind of job, and they want to do something that's more of service in a spiritual way, and they're having trouble getting from one side to the other, because of course the corporate cheese is that the money's good, and then the a similar kind of situation where people are just in survival mode, regardless of what they do for a living is just not enough, and they're trying to manifest,
bridge the gap,
you know, more abundance, or manifest a big change that, you know, it can be a little intimidating walking away from financial security, but what you have to do, what is costing you in spirit, is it's not worth it. So let me role play the person who is trying to make that change.
Okay. And before we do that, let me give people a little setup for this.
Okay.
First of all, I was one of those people, because I made very good money in the corporate world, And I, too, knew that I was bound for a spiritual path. And what I did was offered no resistance, so I found all the things I loved about my job that I had. And then I imagined how happy I would be doing these other things. And I want to tell a quick story about John Lennon. And I tell this in the book. John Lennon wrote in the autobiography that he wrote that every time he saw a newspaper or a magazine, he'd imagine that it was his name in print. And he always knew that he would be well-known, famous, but he didn't know in what category. So even before he was a well-known songwriter and musician, he was imagining that he was famous. So let's role play. Okay, so what's your name? You're going to give me a fake name or your real name?
Mary.
Yeah. All right, Mary. Mary, yes. Tell me, what is your heart's desire?
I want to make enough money so that I can get out of this situation because I'm not happy where I am, and I have to struggle every day, and if I only had enough money, I could end this and get out of here.
All right. So can you give me two things that you like about your job?
Well, it's close to home.
Okay.
And
anything else? Go for the
hours. And I don't have to, and I only have to put in 40 hours.
Okay. And there's one more thing because you didn't name the obvious one that everybody else already knows. And what is that obvious one? Do you know?
What you like about your job? That you have it in the first place?
No, that it pays very well. You've already said three times how well it pays, that you couldn't dream of leaving because it pays so well. I mean, that's the implication, right?
Right, right, right.
So you really like that about your job.
Yeah.
Do you not?
Yeah, it's dependable.
No, listen carefully.
Dependable.
Not only is it dependable, but you really like this about your job. Now, here's what people do. They resent their job that pays them so well. They have an attitude about it, you see? And that resistance keeps them locked there. So the first thing we do is we put that on the list of the things you like about your job. It pays really well. Okay? That's good. That's really good. Okay? It's close to home, and I only have to work 40 hours a week. Okay, very good. Now, if you had your heart's desire, what would you do? Not leave, but you're already doing your heart's desire. What is it that you would do? Now, you don't have to name a profession, but you have to tell me what it is you're doing. And that can be defined in many ways, as I've given you a couple of hints on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm fabricating as I go along, but let's say
that's all right.
That the best thing I like about a different position is that I am being of service to others and helping them to improve their situation and bring more happiness or health into their lives.
Okay, and I'm going to go one step further and say that it doesn't even matter that you name it in that way, because it still might lock you into working for somebody else. And these people need to be self-employed, or very likely are self-employed. Not always,
right?
But are often self-employed. So I am happily working in an environment that I know supports people and the planet. And that what I do makes a difference.
And I'm the captain of my own ship.
And if that needs to be said, captain of my own ship. Now, some people really don't want to be the captain, and that's okay.
Yeah,
too.
Well, I guess that was what I would want. That would be what I would want. But
right, and this is what I meant. Many people who are good performers are in these jobs, and they feel like they're locked in. All right, so here we go. Now that you are happily working in an environment that you know is supporting people and the planet, what you do makes a difference. You're captain of your own ship, and you are well supported financially. What's new and different about you?
I feel a lightness, and I wake up every day with a bounce in my step and eager to have another day of creation.
Right, to be there for people.
To be there for people.
Eager to go to work. Yeah, that's really the number one thing. When people want to change jobs, they if they could imagine that they want to go to work, that's huge. All right, so we have the past, which we have moved, you know, we've moved the present into the past. The past is the job that's currently only filling part of those needs, and one of them is the financial and the limited hours and close to home. And I want all of those things, plus I want to be happy working and supporting humanity. Okay. So if that's true, you are now going to have a conversation with a close friend. Now you get to make up another name. Who would that be with?
Brenda.
Okay. So let's say you're having coffee or tea with Brenda. And Brenda says, so, how are you doing in your new work? And you say,
I almost have to pinch myself every day because it's like a dream come true. I have to make sure this
put it in. Okay, but remember, you're still standing at the past and looking at that by saying it that way.
Okay.
Think about what you would say if you were already successfully doing what you love. You wouldn't say, I have to pinch myself. You would say,
you're right.
I am so happy.
<You're> right.
See the difference? And this is what people do.
Yeah.
Imagine, if you will, you know, I always like to tell people, imagine three boxes in front of you. The box on the far left is your present life. The box in the middle is where you want to be. And the box on the right is the movie. And the box on the right proves that the box in the middle exists. And what happens is when you allow yourself to go sit there in that box where you're looking back, I've already arrived, I'm already successful, I'm already doing what I love, everything shifts. So you're now in that place where you're having a conversation with Brenda. And, and you know, Brenda's saying, well, how's it going? Your response needs to be, oh, my God, I am so busy. I am so happy. It's so amazing. I had no idea that I would be this successful. Do you see how that feels?
Yeah. You can feel the bubbling, you know, I call it, it's the little girl dance on your tippy toes because you're just so happy and so joyful that you can hardly hold still.
Exactly. So when you're counseling your clients, you take them through this process and you push them not to go in the middle where they're looking at what they want, like looking at the grand castle of what they want, but oh, no, no, no. They're living in that castle, and that castle's busy and full of activity, and it's fun, and I'm so happy, and I don't really worry that much about anything. See how that is?
Right. Well, While we've been talking, we have another caller with a question. But if you can work it in sometime before the show is over, there was a thing that you said before on the last show about if you catch yourself with a canceling thought, you have to offer up two to balance it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so, and this is a good one. So let's just play with that for a minute, and then we'll take the caller. We'll be real fast.
Okay.
When you catch yourself hating your job, let's just play with your scenario. Okay. Oh, man, I hate this job. I hate the boss. They're such ogres, blah, 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 all that stuff. You hear yourself do that, then you immediately have to take two positives. I love the fact that I get paid very well here, and I love the fact that it's so close to home. Every time you catch yourself, and this is like taking an antacid, only you're doing two. You're doing the first one that antidotes the negative thoughts, and the second one is a new seed. So the first one cancels out the second one, and it's based, again, on a very sound quantum physics principle that I explain in the book about noise-canceling headphones. So we'll jump to the new caller, and if you want, we can come back to that. I'll explain that a little further.
Okay, yeah, that's just a real valuable piece. So next we are going to be talking to Melvin. Hello, Melvin. You are on the air.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome. And you have a question for Maureen?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to ask, how can I create more income? I'm having financial difficulties. I do have a job, but it's part-time, and it's not enough for me to pay all my bills, and I'm just kind of struggling right now, but how can I overcome that?
Okay. I'd like to give you a couple of tools right away, and then we'll role play with you. So one of the things that I used to do when I would receive a bill, and I was self-employed and not making very much money, and I would get a bill for something that I had organized, you know, maybe an advertising or maybe it was a rental of a facility that I needed for some future date. I would get this bill and I would think, oh, my God, I don't have enough money for this. But instead of going there and into the fear, I would say, I would announce to myself, and I would say it out loud, well, this must mean the universe knows something I don't know. The universe must know that I'm going to have a lot of money coming in this month because they've just sent me a bill for something. And immediately you've turned it on its head. So because you're in this situation right now where, you know, you kind of do have more bills than income, every time you get a bill that's either bigger than what you expected or you just don't have the money to cover it right now, you just look at that bill and you announce to yourself and the world, well, this must mean the universe knows something that I don't know, and I'm so excited to find out what it is because the universe knows I'm going to have plenty of money. Otherwise, they wouldn't have sent me this bill in the first place. It's very interesting, like taking ownership and then saying, okay, you know, like if you were in the military and you had a job and that job said you fed, you know, 50 guys and you were in the mess cook, you'd order supplies. You wouldn't get all freaked out if you didn't have food. You'd just put in a requisition, right?
Right. Just one.
So you think of it that way. You are entitled to put in requisitions. And when you put in a requisition, the stuff doesn't come right away. But it does come. And you don't get all worked up when the delivery guy comes, you know, you make your requisition at 4 o'clock and the delivery guy's at 5, you don't say to him, where's my food? He says, well, when did you place your order? And you'll tell him and he'll say, well, order's placed today, get fulfilled next week. So you kind of take that mentality, all right, I put my order in, the universe has got it covered. Don't question it. All right, so now let's role play with you. If you had your heart's desire, what would it be? Now you got to put it in the positive. You've already told me what you don't have. I want you to hear. I want you to put it in the positive.
I would, if I had my heart desire, I would want to go back to coach football.
All right. So you're coaching football. Now you've done this before.
Yes, ma'am.
And you must have been good at it, and you must have really liked it.
Yes.
Okay, that's going to be so easy for you because you've got all those states of happiness that you can copy from. You know, think of the time that you might have won a football game. Or was it football? Is that what you said? Yeah.
Yes.
Where you won a game, you know, where the odds weren't that great and the team won anyway. And how awesome that felt and how much, you know, the young men looked up to you. Okay? Now,
yes.
Let's just pretend that you've been coaching a team and there have been a number of wins that nobody thought could possibly happen, and you've pulled it off. The team has pulled it off. And that you're halfway through the season, and people are saying, you know, we might go to the championship. And how does that feel? Imagine you're having a conversation with the principal of the school that you're coaching. Who speaks first?
I do.
And what do you say?
We may go to the state title.
And I'll be the principal, okay? I'll play with you. Well, I've been reading the papers, and that's what they're saying. Do you really think you can do it?
Oh, yeah. I believe that we can pull it off. I believe our guys can go out and do the job. I have faith in my kids, and, you know, they are they're coming along very, very well right now. They're really hot.
Well, all I can say is the decision that we made to bring you on board has got to be the best decisions we have ever made. We are so happy to have you, whether you make the championship or not. Do you see how... Yeah. Stay in it. Stay in it. You know, when somebody says that to you, doesn't it, like, make your heart expand?
Yes.
So what you want to do is pretend you're having that conversation with a principal, you know, that says, you know, the board recommended you. It was my final decision. I'm so glad I chose you. And you hear that, and everything else falls into place. That's all you have to do is see yourself over and over having that conversation. The other thing I would recommend that you do in your situation is watch movies that have the sports theme where somebody comes out from behind and you see yourself as that special leader, like the movie Moneyball. I love that movie. Or you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
okay. Sir. Yeah, if you're into sports, you would understand that. But there's lots of them out there. There's just tons of sports movies. And also read books about people who didn't have a chance. You know, all the odds were against them, and yet they still pulled it off. You know, there's a very well-known football player in Wisconsin. I have to think about what his name is, but he wrote a book, and he also did Dancing with the Stars. Do you know what I'm talking about? Shriver, what's his name? Anyway, you'll find him.
Donald Driver?
Donald Driver, that's right.
Yes.
Read his book. Have you read his book?
No, ma'am, I haven't.
Okay, I'm telling all the audience, read Donald Driver's book. It's amazing. It's an easy read. You get to hear how rough it is in the ghetto, and you get to see how crazy his life was. He was a thief. And you know, at one point he was dealing drugs. He wasn't doing drugs, but he was dealing drugs. And he came out the other side. And to read that story is so inspiring. And it helps you realize that, you know, hey, if he can do it, I can do it. And it gives you that sense. Okay. And then you keep running that movie. That movie's really important. So, Melvin, more than any other thing, at least once a day, maybe more, you mentally sit down and you imagine that you're having this conversation with someone that says, after you talk about maybe going to the championship, I don't know, some kind of conversation about the football program doing so well, and the principal or the key person says to you, hiring you, taking a chance on you, whatever they say, was the best thing we ever did, and I am so happy. Thank you for who you are. Feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yes, ma'am. I see it. I mean,
so keep doing that movie. That'll, like, really nail it for you. And this is true for everyone, you know. As you listen, remember that there's lots of things out there that can support your believing in you. And one of them is, you know, put yourself in the movies and be that movie star, whoever it is, whatever the scenario is, that's close to what you're looking for. You don't have to, you know, make it in a big, big time, but to see yourself being honored and respected in a job that you love that pays well. All right. How are we doing time-wise?
Well, we've got about 10 minutes. So, but Melvin, you can do this. I heard you. I could feel your energy and your heart just swelling up when Maureen was saying what the principal would say to you, and your energy came right up. And just, you know, visit that at least every day. And
yes.
And then, you know, the universe will work out the details. You know,
okay.
I could feel it coming up in you, so you can do it. You've got it, and just pardon the pun, run with the ball.
Yes. Oh yeah, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you all so much.
You're so welcome.
It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, same here. Very well. Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Thanks so much for calling, Melvin. Bye bye.
You'll have a next time. Bye bye.
So we have just let me just check. I think. Okay. Yeah, we don't have any more callers with questions. So if you could expound a little more on the 2-for-1.
Oh, yes, I would love to. So, first of all, let's talk about noise-canceling headphones, because that's really something that I discovered after the fact. I will tell you that this business of twofers, and that's what I call it, was taught to me by my angels when I was in my 20s, and I was in a college that I didn't like, that my parents had convinced me to go to because they were trying to pull me out of a social situation that they didn't approve of. So I transferred from one college to another, and now I'm looking around going, oh, my God, this is an all-girls school, and the place is so clean you could eat off the floor. It's definitely not my style. And I looked into the situation, and I prayed on it, and I just got more and more depressed because I was missing my old friends. And I remember asking the angels, okay, I need to do something, and I don't know what it is, but don't make me work too hard. So they actually said to me, do two positives for every negative. So every time we would commiserate, as college girls do, you know, the food here is terrible. And I would respond with, yeah, but the donuts are great. Or, you know, so-and-so teacher is, you know, really rough. And then my response is, yeah, but we're learning so much. And I would force myself to do two positives for every negative. So within 2 weeks of my changing my scenario and deliberately keeping my agreement with myself because of what my request to the angels was, within that short period of time, the head of admissions comes to me and says, I want you to take prospective students out. I've heard about you, and you're the person I want for that job. So why does it work? The answer is, when noise-canceling headphones came out, I originally thought to myself, there is no way you can retract a sound once it goes out. And that happens to be true, by the way. But the way noise-canceling headphones work is they're operating on the principle of a replicatable sound. That means a lawnmower, a jet engine, some sound that continues over and over, makes the same sound. And then it captures that sound, and it makes the inverse wave, and then it matches up the two waves against each other, so that literally the waves collapse onto each other, producing no sound. So they're not erasing a sound that didn't exist. They're erasing a sound that they know is going to sound again because it keeps repeating. Now, once you understand that principle that you can collapse the wave and you can antidote the sound, then what you're really doing in the twofers is you're taking one positive, or excuse me, you're taking the negative that you're already using or saying, and you're adding a positive. Now, if you hate your job, you don't say, but I love my kids and my husband, because those are not related. You have to pick the two things. You know, it's close to home, 40 hours a week, and it pays really, really well. And you use those positives to antidote your negative thought. And here's what happens. In your consciousness, The positive and negative cancel each other out. But because you've done two positives, the second positive becomes the seed. Now the only thing running around in your head is positive thoughts that are the remainder of the equation. And when you think positive thoughts here and positive thoughts there, it works every time. The universe always produces what you're thinking about. Now, I love to ask this question, but when was the last time you decided to not think a negative thought before you thought it? Doesn't happen. And the reason it doesn't happen is because it's not possible. You have to change your pattern. You have to change your behavior. You have to get out of the habit. And the fastest way to get out of the habit is to practice two first.
That's just so, it's so powerful. I'm thinking like, you know, like the negative statement is putting the car in reverse, and then you make a positive statement, then you get back to neutral, and then you need one more positive to get in the drive.
Yes. And here's another thing about this. Remember what I said about all the emotions, the feeling of not being good enough, the feeling of judgment, and the feeling of anger and disappointment. When you notice yourself being negative, if you beat yourself up for being negative, now you've got to antidote that one too. And so I joyfully, gleefully say, you know, don't beat yourself up. Just say, you know what, it's okay now. In a way, it's like a diet. If you could take as much chocolate as you wanted and all you had to do was follow it with an anti-chocolate so you didn't have any of the ill effects of extra calories, wouldn't that be great? But that's what you're doing. So no judgment is allowed. What you're doing is you're taking and allowing yourself to be the whiny little girl. It's okay. And then you're turning around and saying, and here's two to compensate for that. And you're doing the whole thing joyfully. So then you don't mind it when you have a complaint. And you don't have self-judgment. You don't have shame. You don't have grief or regret. All of that is gone. And these, quote, missing emotions then are out of the way and make more room for the universe to give you what you're really thinking about, which is what you really want.
That is so beautiful in its simplicity, really, and so powerful in the lengths to which it affects the quantum field.
Thank you. I think
I
so too, and I'm thrilled to share it with you.
Wow. I can't believe the show's almost over and we could just go on and on because you are so engaging and what you're saying is so true. I just know that it works and I've had success with it myself. So before we wrap up, I want to bring Lavendar back on. And Lavendar, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. Oh, this has been a great show, and I'm just really thrilled that you were able to come on and be our guest. And we want you to come back. Are you writing anything new? Do you have any new books coming out?
I do. I'm so glad you asked. Before I tell you about that, though, I'd like to make a quick pitch for two sacred journeys that I am doing yet this year. One is a Mary Magdalene sacred journey where we're going to do very special Mary Magdalene mission in a very sweet, small work trip of about 10 days in France and Spain. And then we're also doing another trip to Scotland, and that's in August. So Mary Magdalene is in October, and the Scotland trip is in August. So if you're interested in those things, please send us an email because we have specials going on right now that are going to go away in a couple of days. And the new book I'm writing about, I am so excited about. It's called Waking Up in 5D. And it's full of more tools and understandings of what life is like in the new environment that we're already in. And it's like, you know what? If you're already in some new town, why not download that app that gives you the map? And that way you can find your way easier. And that's what this book is all about, called Waking Up in 5D. And it will be on pre-sale July 8th, and it's coming out this fall.
Well, great. And could you also repeat the special website that you mentioned in addition to your personal website?
Okay. So the website to pick up a very exclusive guided meditation, not available anywhere else, is GenieSystem.com. And then on my website, MaureenSaintGermain.com, you will find a wonderful free downloadable meditation called The Golden Glow. Very, very powerful, wonderful for the new energies that are coming in. And we also have some specials in our aromatherapy line and CDs that are going on right now, so check it out. I think you'll find lots of fun tools, and buy the book on Amazon, on our website, at your local bookstore, wherever you can find it. And then, you know, send us a review. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, that would be great. We'll have is your email or contact information, obviously it's on your main website.
Yes, it is. And it's easy to find. It's info@MaureenSaintGermain. So it's MaureenSaintGermain.com. info@MaureenSaintGermain.
Great. Great. Well, we are out of time for this evening, but Maureen, it has just been a joy again to have you on the show, and I want to thank you so much for the work that you have done and the 20 years that you put into preparation to do this work. But it was, there were some scary moments, but it was so worth it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's been my deep pleasure to play with you guys. You guys are the best, and you have such a lovely audience. Thank you so much. I've heard from your audience who have written me, so thank you guys for writing. Keep up the good work, and, you know, keep doing it.
Well, we sure will, because we have to go out and help others, and so we got to figure out how to help ourselves first, because you can't pull someone else up when you're sitting on a rocky boat. So we do encourage you to check out all the wonderful things that Maureen has to help and empower all of us. And Maureen, thank you so much for being with us on the show this evening.
My pleasure.
And we will be back next week. And thanks to Vanya, Claudia, and Fiona for helping with the switchboard this evening on behalf of Lavendar and Anastasia. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.